And the title of the message today is I Can See Clearly Now. And I brought with me some of these pool chemicals that I have for myself. These are from my house. And so we have stabilizer. We got algae control, which right now I need that in my pool. We have, you know, once you put shock in, you know, then you get the chlorine. How many of you have pools or hot tubs? How many of you have ever seen pool chemicals before? You know what they do. They clear up your pool, right? So my pool was cloudy. It was a complete mess. And I cleared up my pool. And it revealed all of the obstacles, kind of like in the song. It revealed that I have leaves and debris on the bottom center of my pool. I have algae on the walls of my pool. And now I need to go and brush it and clean it and do all the other work and stuff. And then I'll still have to do, you know, the pH up or down or the alkalinity plus and all these other things. But it's funny because it's like when you talk about cleaning the pool or vacuuming the pool and taking care of the pool, it's like there's all these chemicals so that you can see clear in the pool water. So the water is clear. But then once you see clearly through the pool water, well, then you discover that there's a mess in the pool and that the reason for the pool to get cloudy and dirty and everything like that is because there's actual leaves and debris and stuff like that. And there's probably toads living in my skimmer basket and all those other great things that go with a pool when you haven't ran it in a week and you haven't taken care of it and stuff like that. So, and there was other illustration I had for the whole thing, Stephen, clearly, that I was going to take anybody that has glasses. Let's see, how many of you have glasses? Raise your hand if you got glasses on. All right. So I was going to have everybody that has glasses come up. We're going to line you up and bring you up here. And then I was going to wet my thumb and I was going to smudge your glasses. Because that's what my Uncle Harvey used to do to us as kids. And he used to, like, it's like he would get you, too. Like, you'd just be walking along this scene, oh, man. And then it's, you know, slime all over your glass and you can't see out of it. And it's just a mess. So I didn't think that would go over very well. So I figured, now we can't do that. But it is one of those things. It is one of those things where I was thinking about this. And this is where this message came from. You know the round of storms we had a couple weeks ago? I mean, it seems like we're getting these rounds of storms. And then we have had heat waves. Now we got another heat wave coming. And it was this idea that we had this round of storms. And you looked at the sky on one side, and it was black. I mean, it was dark. There was, you know, it goes from the dark black gray to the purplish gray, you know, to the outer layer, that silver whitish clouds, whatever. And they're the huge billowy clouds, but all over the sky that way. And you can even tell, if you look off at a distance, you can see where the rain has fallen. Like, you can tell that wall of rain is over there. And you're like, oh man, is that coming my way or not? And I'm driving out Shaker Road in Enfield, and it's like there's a wall. To the left is that storm. To the right is clear blue skies. And it was the craziest thing to me that it was like this wall where there was like nothing but clouds. And you couldn't see the sky. I mean, for the clouds, all you could see is the storm. And then you look to the right, and all you saw was clear blue sky. I didn't see a cloud until you looked way off, and then you see the white wispy clouds and stuff, and you're like, that wall. And I was just thinking about it. I was like, sometimes I think people come to God that way, where it's almost like there's this wall that they kind of can't get through to trying to understand God. That the idea is that when we read the scripture, we read the Bible or whatever, that it's confusing, that it's something that, it's over my head, Pastor Tony. I really just don't get it. You know, there's just so much stuff in there. It's kind of confusing. I just don't understand it. And to me, an almighty God who loves us, who wants a relationship with us, who desires you, should make it clear. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I was like, and it was crazy. It was as clear as day that I'm, and I love that phrase, clear as day. But it was like I'm driving down this road, and I'm thinking about in my head. I'm like, so many times I see people in their lives go through difficulties in relationships or job or financial struggle or whatever they go through, And it's like, and they're struggling with figuring out what God's trying to say to them. They're struggling with trying to figure out and understand God. They're struggling and trying to figure out, like, life and God and all the things around them are just confusing and just difficult, and it's just, you know, a mess, like a storm. But yet God wants us to see clearly who he is and what he has for us, and that we can see clearly now, you know, that the rains are gone. That, you know, even the obstacles that come along in life, you know, the things that we have to clean up in our lives or the things that we need to take care of, but it's like we come before God and his desire is to communicate with us and let himself be known clearly. And so I was looking in the scriptures at a story in Acts chapter 8. There was the Ethiopian official, and he came upon Philip. Now, the story goes that the Holy Spirit led Philip to talk to this guy. Now, back then, these officials, you know, it's like they didn't drive stretch limos, you know, bulletproof class, you know, but they did ride around in chariots, right? And so, you know, he's in his chariot, and this official is reading from the book of Isaiah. You know, he's reading the scriptures, you know, he's quoting scriptures, he's reading them out loud and everything like that. And Philip, a disciple of the Lord, he comes alongside the chariot that the Ethiopian was in, and he hears him reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he asks him if he understood what he was reading. And so this Ethiopian official, he's like, well, how can I understand unless someone guides or helps me? Like, how am I supposed to be able to understand this? This is too difficult for me to understand. I mean, this is from a prophet. You know, a prophet of God wrote these words. How am I, little old me, how am I supposed to understand, right? Now, this is an Ethiopian official, so you got to assume it's not because he was too dumb to understand the words. Because, you know, back then, it's like if you were in a wealthy and a government official or whatever, you were educated. So this guy is educated, and he still asks the question to the disciple. He asks him, how can I understand unless someone guides or helps me? So then Philip goes on and uses the book of Isaiah to share about the Messiah, to share about Jesus Christ with this Ethiopian. And then he asks him, well, what must I do to get baptized? You know, like what's this whole thing with baptism and everything? And so Philip describes for him that, you know, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must come before God in faith, trust and believing in his Son, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again, and that he was buried after the third day. And Philip basically tells this Ethiopian, listen, if you want to clearly understand God, you need to get into a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. You need to get saved. So the eunuch gets saved, the Ethiopian official, he gets saved, and then they go down to the water there nearby, near where the chariot was parked, and they baptize him. Philip baptizes him. And so now here's this Ethiopian official who at first came before God, and he comes to the scriptures, and he's reading the Bible. It's not that he's not willing to read it. It's not that, hey, you know, you can, by the way, how many of you have a smartphone with you today? Tablet, smartphone, something like that. Most of us got our cell phones and stuff. My dad keeps joking that he's got one of the dumb phones, you know, because his flip's open still, and he doesn't have the whole internet and Wi-Fi and all that stuff. But it's one of those things where, you know, we have the scriptures at our disposal. Like, we can pull up a Bible app. If you go to Bible.com or you go to YouVersion.com or whatever, and I can absolutely open up on my phone and I can go to the Bible app, okay, and I can pull up the scriptures right, like, as instantly as that. Now I can pull it up and boom, I'm reading, okay, in Ruth chapter 4. That's where I was reading last. So the idea is, it's like, okay, so you can pull up the scriptures and read it. And this Ethiopian official who's educated is reading the scriptures and he wasn't understanding it. But Philip come alongside him and described for him and showed him from scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And that if you trust and believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, then you too can be saved. And then he baptized him after he accepted Christ as a Savior. Now, I want to share this with you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16, just so you know, this Ethiopian's not alone, and just so you know that you're not alone, if sometimes you go to the Bible and sometimes you go to scriptures, and it just doesn't make sense. You know, what's the phrase? It's all Greek to me. So there's a reason for that sometimes. But here, let's listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. All right, so here's Peter saying this about Paul, that some of the things Paul's written in scriptures, you find them sometimes hard to understand. And then it says, but ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. And so what confuses the matter sometimes even more is when people who aren't seeking God, people who aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, people who aren't living for Christ, tries to tell you what scripture means. When someone that's unsaved tries to describe for you what God's saying or what the Bible teaches or what the Bible means about a particular thing, it can add even more distortion, more confusion, and more problems when it comes to understanding God in scripture. But here's this in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says this. I urge then, first of all, that our petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. And here's the point I want to focus on. Who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth? See, our salvation, our lives as Christians, our belief as in my faith is not something that I'm coming to blindly. It's not something I'm coming to because, oh, you're just simple-minded. You're stupid. You know, it's like, you know, religion or faith is, what's that phrase? Something about, you know, for the simple-minded or I forget what it is, but the people talk about the idea that, oh, well, faith is for people that are uneducated. You know, religion and faith is for people that aren't smart. And it's like, but yet here, the Ethiopian official, it's like, he's educated. And I know there are those in here today, okay, that are educated and that trust and believe in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. So the idea is, how do we reconcile those things that sometimes scriptures are hard to understand, but God wants us all to have knowledge of the truth, and he wants us all to be saved. So how can we, and here's the question today, all right, how can we clearly understand what God is trying to say to us? How do we understand? How do we have full knowledge of the truth and then have confidence in it? You know, especially when you get to certain verses. You know, some verses are a little confused. I'm not quite sure what they say. I don't quite know what this means, Pastor. You know, and so, well, maybe I should look it up in a commentary, or maybe I should look it up, Google it. You know, you can Google anything nowadays, right? So how do we clearly understand what God's trying to say to us? And the first point we're going to make this morning, the first thing that I'm going to share this morning is, and the very first thing is, open our eyes. You know, it's like, I was joking about the idea of the, smudging the glasses, you know, and it's like, okay, you take the glass off, now you can see or whatever. But how many times, and I know this is for me, well, let me share the scripture first, and then I'll share my illustration, all right? So open our eyes. In Psalm 119, verse 18, it says this. It says, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, in your word. Open my eyes that I can see the wonderful things that's written down in the scriptures. Like, that's how we can clearly see and understand God, is to just open our eyes. How many times have you sent somebody, and this, oh my gosh, I'm so glad Ari's down the hall today. How many times, and Sarah can attest to this, I've sent Ari to go look for something in her room, okay? You go look. You send your kid to go find something. Dad, I can't find my ruler or whatever, you know, my cell phone or whatever that it is, you know. And some of you are thinking like, yeah, and your elbow, it's my spouse too, you know, my husband. I send my husband to go look for something. In my case, it's I send my wife to go look for something. So Ari gets this from her, okay. But you go to look for something, okay, and they're like, I can't find it. I don't see it. It's not there. I don't know where it is. I lost it. I can't find it. Whatever. And I can't remember what it was, but it was recently even that something was missing. Sarah needed to grab something or get something. She was looking for something. Oh, it was even here at church. We were setting something up, and you were looking. The week of Live Worship Sunday, we're setting up, and we have the box over here, and there's these little things that screw on top for the microphone. And she's like, oh, it's not there. I'm looking all over for the top of this or whatever. And I go over to the box, and I open up the lid, and I look, and it's right there. It's right there. It's right on top. And it's like, and I don't know how many times I've gone into Ari's room and she's looking for her ruler. She's looking for stuff, whatever. And I look over on her desk and it's right there. It's not buried. It's not buried under stuff, which you would think in a preteen's room that it would be buried under piles and piles of clothes and everything like that. And sometimes that might be the case, but I couldn't tell you the number of times that I've sent her to go look for something, and she's come back saying, I can't find it, and I've walked in, and it's right there. Open your eyes, kid. Like, do you ever, anybody else ever do that? Come on, please, somebody else has done that. Okay, so open my eyes that I may see the wonderful things in your law. And then I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, it's like sometimes though, you know, there's reasons. We're kind of blinded by things. You know, it's like, you ever driven on a foggy day? You know, when there's just completely, you know, fog, you know, just laid out as thick as can be out across the road, and it's difficult to see in front of you. I was watching the news thing about the rescue, and man, I don't remember where it was, the coach and all the kids, the soccer team or whatever it was. What country was that in?
Thailand.
And one of the divers, I think it was one of the British divers, was doing an interview and all, and he was saying that the water that they had to get through in this one stretch, I don't know if it was like 300 meters or something or another, the dive team had to get through, he said you could put your hand in front of your face, and he said you wouldn't be able to see it. The water was that murky, that muddy. It was just, you couldn't see it. And he said, you know, and so they had to bring these kids out through that, and so they had to trust one another, and they had, you know, and so you can't see clearly, and sometimes it's because we're blinded by things, smoke or, you know, I was watching the documentary thing on the wildfires in California, and when the smoke is rolling over the hills and stuff, the people a lot of times just evacuate their homes because they just can't see, and if a fire is coming, it could literally be in their backyard and they wouldn't even know it because the smoke is so thick they can't even see it. And so I was just thinking about that idea, seeing clearly. And the idea is sometimes we just need to open our eyes, but then sometimes we're blinded. So here's the first thing is, how do we avoid blindness? First thing we do is we avoid blindness. And the first thing here is what I'm going to call the high beam effect. When someone gets saved or someone comes to Scripture, and if they're not a mature Christian, or sometimes even mature Christians can experience this, but I find this especially true with sometimes people open up the Bible and they start to read, and there's just like there's so much there that it's almost like a deer caught in the headlights. And I call this the high beam effect. And here's what I mean by it. That it's like, and the scripture I'll share is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. See, the Lord's told Isaiah here that this is what Israel would be like, that they would be ever seeing but never perceiving, never understanding it. And I think sometimes what happens is when someone is faced with a spiritual truth, if you share salvation with somebody that's unsaved, you share the simplicity that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And when you're sharing a scriptural truth to somebody, sometimes when they're faced with that, it's almost like it's too bright. I mean, you ever have someone shine a flashlight in your eyes? You ever have somebody like, you know, the high beams going in a car or whatever? Or when you're driving at nighttime and someone's got their high beams coming towards you and you lose sight of the road, you lose sight of the middle line or something like that. So you ever look off to the right line as you're driving just so you can stay in the path of the, you know, what you can see clearly? It's one of those things that that high beam effect is sometimes scripture and truths can come to people. And sometimes they're like a deer caught in a headlight. It's like, it's just too much. It's like, I don't quite understand it. It's like, you're giving it to them straight. You're telling them what the truth is, but they're not ready to receive it. So in other words, they see it, but they're not perceiving it. They're not understanding it. The second effect that's avoiding blindness, and blindness can come, is from the sin effect. And that's pretty clear and understandable, but the idea is if there's sin in our lives, sometimes we're not going to be able to understand what God's trying to say to us if we're not willing to give over some area of our lives that's causing us to sin. And so the sin effect, in 1 John 2:11, it says this, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness, and he walks around in the darkness, and they do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. See, and I spoke on this, another time a few weeks ago, whatever. But that idea is sometimes it's so easy to live in the darkness. Sometimes we get comfortable in the darkness. You know, we don't want the bright light shining on us and everything. Sometimes we don't want God or the Holy Spirit shining His light in every area of our lives. That if we had every area of our lives under the microscope, under the bright lights, like what it would reveal, would be sin. And if there's areas of our lives that it's like that sin effect, and it's like then we're trying to clearly understand God's direction for us, then, how can we understand what God wants for us if we're not willing to give up that area of sin? And so in this verse, it's talking about the idea of a brother or sister, someone that's hating their brother or sister. Well, how can you know and experience what God's love is for you when you're having hate for somebody else? How can you understand and experience forgiveness if you refuse to forgive somebody else? And so the idea is that it's like sin can have an effect in our lives for us being able to understand what God's trying to say to us. And then the last one here, the Satan's effect. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, "The God of this age," Satan himself, "has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ who's in the image of God." The idea is that Satan works to try to confuse. God works to clear things up. God makes everything clear. Satan is trying to cause confusion. So oftentimes when we come to scriptures, and sometimes people throw out all these different interpretations or all these different ideas. What about all the other religions? See, God, there's one religion. Okay, there's one faith. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one salvation. It's Jesus Christ. It's God Almighty. But the idea is that Satan, over the decades and centuries and millennials and everything like that since the creation of time, that God has made it clear that there is one God, there is one faith, there's one Son, Jesus Christ. But man and Satan have tried to cause confusion. That if we can throw many different faiths out there, if we can throw many different religions out there, I heard an illustration one time that at the most prestigious, world-renowned banks or whatever, like in Switzerland, they deal with all the currencies of all the exchange of all the different countries of the world. And in these huge Swiss banks, that when they're dealing with all the different currencies, it's like, well, how do they figure out which one the counterfeits are? With so many opportunities, if you have a $100 bill in the United States currency and then you have 100 francs or Deutschmarks or any other currencies, how do you know if someone makes a counterfeit bill from those? Because there's so many different ways to counterfeit currency. How would you know if it's the right bill or if it's a counterfeit bill? And the way they train their bankers is they train them what the truth is. They train them on what the real one looks like, and they know what the real one looks like, the weight of it, the look of it, the fibers of it, the color of it, everything about what the real one looks like, and they don't study anything else but that. Because if you try to study all the counterfeit currencies and everything like that, like you'll confuse that with what the real bill looks like. But if you study what the truth is, if you study what the real currency looks like, then you will know that everything else is a counterfeit, even if it's really close. Even if it comes down to it's just one little thing that's different, they'll know it's different because they know what the true one is. And so the idea is that Satan also causes confusion. That effect can be there in the world today. It can be there in those that we talk to and stuff trying to understand God. It's like that Satan's the God of this age. He's trying to confuse us. All right, so we need to avoid blindness, but then we need to go a step further, and we need to ask boldly, all right? We need to ask boldly for, number one, the Lord to lift the veil. So we need to ask God to lift the veil from our eyes. That if we're having trouble seeing God clearly, if we're having trouble understanding who God is and what God is all about, then let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. It says, "Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, it's like, I share this, and I'm going to, the next point I'll kind of go along with this, but it's like, to me, when someone comes to me, I have family members, a lot of times they'll call me up and, hey, Tony, you know, it's like I was looking through this passage and I don't understand it. You know, what's this verse say? Or I had Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door, you know, or you know, somebody from this church came to my door and they said this, you know, and it's like, well, I don't know, that doesn't sound right to me, you know, or a friend of mine was talking about what they do in their church, and then their pastor said this, and then him and I were talking, and then he asked his pastor this question, and this was the answer he got, and I'm trying, what do you think? You know, what's the Bible say? And I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, I was like, when we read Scripture, when you sit down and read the Bible, and you struggle to understand what it's saying, the verses said there, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil's taken away. If our first step in trying to understand Scripture is to Google, or if our first step is, you know, let me look up Matthew Henry's commentary or somebody else's commentary. If our first step is trying to compare it to every other world religion or every other thing you've ever heard in your life, then we're missing the first step that God tells us to do. We turn to the Lord, and He'll lift the veil from our eyes. If we're struggling to understand who God is and what He wants for us and what He's trying to say to us, then whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So we need to ask God to lift the veil. And then the next thing we need to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to spell it out. And the idea is because God's Spirit is directing us to what God is saying, what the Lord is saying, what the Word is saying in the Scriptures. And so we ask the Spirit to spell it out. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom, starting in verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So you know what? The Scripture says there are times that people have difficulty understanding. There's times that the mysteries of God are hidden to those that don't believe and that don't quite understand things. So how do we expect an unsaved person to tell us what Scripture means? How do we expect somebody, sometimes these philosophers and these different ones, to tell us what God's trying to tell us if they don't understand God because they're not in a relationship with Him? They don't understand because it's a mystery to them. So it says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? So in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand and what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in the words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining the spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They consider them foolishness, and they cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the work of the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And it's all a way of saying that God's Holy Spirit is working in those of us who come before God, who trust in God, who believe in God for salvation, who trust in Christ. So if we trusted in Christ for salvation, the Bible teaches that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the idea is then that Spirit, so we all have a conscience. We're all born, we're in the flesh. We all have an immaterial part of us, we have a soul. And our soul is our mind, our intellect, our emotions, our will. The heart of a person is often referred to as your soul, okay? It's kind of like what makes you who you are. But the spirit of a man is that which relates to God. And so we can call that our conscience, okay? So our spirit, okay, if those of us that are saved, okay, is then under the control of, if we yielded our spirit, to the Holy Spirit. And so there's that great Carrie Underwood song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. But if you have this song, and I know we have someone that loves Carrie Underwood, so I'm not going to make fun of her. But the song, Jesus, Take the Wheel, the real thing is that we're asking God to take control of our lives. We're asking God's spirit to take control of our spirit. That our conscience is guided by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit's the one that reveals the scriptures to us. The Holy Spirit's the one that guides us to know and understand what the Bible's saying. That in order for us to see clearly who God is, then we need to yield ourselves to His Spirit. We need to trust His Spirit that He's going to reveal to us what it is that He wants to say to us. And so the Holy Spirit speaks through and in conjunction with the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit speaks through and in conjunction with the Word of God. So it's the truth of Scripture. It's the Word. Jesus Christ is the Word. It's the Holy Spirit that's revealing that Word to us. The Spirit opens our minds to certain principles. It shows us what the principles of God are, what the principles of Scriptures are. The implications, you know, and the applications, the unique applications of the Word, and it shows us God's truth. Okay, that's the work of the Spirit. The way of the Holy Spirit is the way, and Jesus Christ says, "I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So the idea is Jesus Christ is the way. So the way of the Spirit is the way of the Word. So not only do we need to open our eyes to truly understand what God is trying to say to us, but we also need to, number two, prepare our hearts and minds. Number two, prepare our hearts and minds. So how do we do that? First thing, studying God's Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says this, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth." See, if we're going to understand what God's trying to say, then after we have opened our eyes, after we've avoided blindness, after we've come before God, the way we prepare our hearts and minds is to study the Word. We need to get into the Word. And so Romans 15:4 says this, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures, the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." See, sometimes people like to skip over certain scriptures they have difficulty with or things they don't understand. They might even skip the whole Old Testament. Or there's certain books in the Old Testament. "Oh, I'll skip over that because I don't understand much of that." But the idea is all of those things were given to us as examples and to set the stage for the coming Messiah. So the truths about Jesus Christ and the Messiah are set forth in the foundation that was laid in the Old Testament. And so all these things written in the past was written to teach us. All right, so first thing we need to do is study God's Word. The second thing we need to do is apply God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in applying God's Word, it says, "The Word of God is alive." It's not a dead book. It's an alive. It's growing, it's breathing, it's filled with God and His Spirit. And so it's sharper. It's alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It says it penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. See, the Word of God, you ever had scripture, like a verse or something shared with you, or you've read some verse, and like, man, it just cuts you right through. Like, it's something about that scripture, something about that verse just kind of cuts you right in two. Just kind of like, wow, man, I never thought of it like that before. I never heard that before. I don't know if I understand it, but man, it's just something about that just hit me. And it's like, that's what the Word of God does, because it's meant to split between us, our body, our soul, and our spirit. It's meant to divide that which is our intent, our desires, our will, how we want to live our lives, how we want to do things, and it's supposed to separate that from how God wants us to do things in our spirit. And so our desires are to be yielded to God's Spirit so we can clearly understand Scripture. And James 1:22, it says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and we deceive ourselves, but do what it says." And so that's kind of my thing as far as getting clear about what God's trying to say to us to understand, is that we need to come to Scripture and do what it says. You know, that we need to actually do what the Bible teaches. And then as Christians, our lives will be a lot more clear. So James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and deceive ourselves, but do what it says. So how else do we prepare? Number 3, by teaching God's word. And this is a difficult one because I'm telling you, like, if you learn anything in life, you know, how many of you ever played soccer? Anybody? Baseball. Okay? Any other sports? Volleyball, tennis, whatever. Okay. How many have ever coached any of those sports? Anybody ever coached? Okay. When you teach somebody something, what's that do for you? You learn it even more. It's like it reinforces what you've learned. If you try to teach somebody else about what you know, it's like you learn it even more. You know, if you tried to teach somebody your trade, if you tried to teach somebody electrical work, if you know electrical work, but when you try to teach somebody else that electrical work, now you brush up on your own skills of what you know how to do things in order to be able to teach somebody else how to do it. Teaching the Word of God. In Colossians 3:16, it says this. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. See, the message of Christ, let it dwell among you richly and then teach and admonish one another with gratitude in your hearts. Revelation chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is in it, because the time is near. See, Pastor Stokes wants to go through this fall series with the book of Revelation and other scriptures talking about the end times. But the reason is because we're sitting in this my back porch with a bunch of teens, and they're asking questions about salvation. They're asking questions about, you know, going to heaven. But what happens to the people that are on earth? Can we see them? Can they see us? What happens when Jesus comes again? Will Jesus come again? Will we be still here on the earth when Jesus comes again? All these questions were coming out of the teens' mouths. And it's one of those things where we're like, okay, you know what? Then we need to teach this because there needs to be clear understanding about what's to come. There needs to be a clear understanding about what God has for you and for me. We need to clearly understand who God is and what he's trying to say to us. So the final point about how we can clearly understand about what God is trying to say to us is this. We must interpret with intention. So that you hear it all the time that, well, I don't know, that's my interpretation. Well, somebody else has a different interpretation of Scripture. Here's this interpretation, whatever. So let me share this with you. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, it says this. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So see, God's basically saying, listen, if you come to my word, if you come to the scripture, and you search it out, you seek it the way you would some kind of hidden treasure, the way you would some kind of, you know, silver or gold or some precious metal, if you seek it, okay, then God will reveal it to you. And so the idea is that when you're seeking the truth, okay, then it's like God's going to reveal that truth to you. So how? How should we interpret Scripture then? And this is a simple guideline, a few points here. And honestly, if you've never gotten into the Scriptures to delve into your personal devotions and reading the Bible, because right now, if in your mind, reading the Scriptures confuses me. I get into the Bible and I don't understand it. I have difficulty understanding things. Write these 7 things down, okay? Write this down. If you get nothing else out of the message, write these things down. That the idea is, how can we interpret the Scripture? The first thing we must do, you have to start with faith and the Holy Spirit. You have to start from a place of faith and belief. If you're going to study the Scripture, if you're going to come to the Word of God, and you're going to understand what God's trying to say, you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to start somewhere. And it's the idea is that if it's God's word, if it's God's message to you and to me, then we have to start from a place of faith and asking the Holy Spirit to help us. Number two, allow the Bible to interpret itself. My favorite thing to do whenever I'm listening to a message and scriptures are given is I'm looking in my Bible or my Bible app, and if there's these little cross-reference notes or something, I will compare scripture with scripture. I'll cross-reference and go back and forth to figure out what things are said. The best way of interpreting scripture is to allow the Bible to interpret itself, to cross-reference. Scripture best explains scripture. Number three, learn from the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. Allow the Old Testament to be the examples, and as we understand the scriptures in the New Testament, and the testament that we have with Jesus Christ, and the covenant we have with Christ, and that we're new creation, and all the things that scripture teaches in the New Testament, understand the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. Number four, understand unclear scriptures in light of clear scriptures. Sometimes you come to verses, I got it. Totally understand that. That's as clear as day. I understand it. I understand what it's saying. But now I read a verse and I ain't got a clue. I have no idea what that verse is trying to say. But this is kind of what it's about. This is where it's at and I'm trying to figure it out. Understand unclear scriptures in light of clear scriptures. Use those as your comparison. Number five, interpret words and verses in light of their context. In other words, what was the original author's intent? Who wrote it? Who'd they write it to? What were they trying to say to them? And then how does that apply to me? Interpret words and verses in light of their context. Number six, interpret historical passages in light of doctrinal passages. Okay? Perfect example of this. Just because you see Solomon or somebody having hundreds of wives and things like that doesn't mean that's the way God intended it. Doesn't mean that's what God wants each of us to do, to go out and have 300 wives. Okay? Again, understand the historical passages, interpret those in light of doctrinal passages. And number seven, understand your own personal experience in light of God's word. There are so many times that people will talk about, well, you know, but I feel like God is saying this to me. You know, I feel like this is okay because this is kind of how God says it to me. And, you know, it doesn't matter if I murder that person because, you know, I feel like God's okay with it. Not what the Bible says. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, there are times, obviously, there's matters of war and there's matters of self-defense and protecting your families in certain situations. And even our justice system allows for those situations. But just, you can't legalize morality. You can't make enough laws to make people moral. So the idea is that in our lives, if we're trying to understand what God's trying to say to us and we clearly understand who God is and what he wants for us, then we really need to balance our own personal experience, what we think God's trying to say. We need to understand our own personal experience in light of God's word. There's a few quotes when it comes to seeing things and understanding things that I found very interesting in preparation for the message. And the first one was Helen Keller. You've probably heard this before. It's probably been shared hundreds and hundreds of times. But it's one of those things that I found it very important to say, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. That I think sometimes when I talked about opening our eyes, it's not just your physical eyes of looking like, okay, open your eyes and see the object sitting there on the desk. But I feel like it's one of those things that we need to open our eyes spiritually. That we need to kind of have a vision for what God's doing and what God's trying to say to us. And that if we're looking into the scriptures and we're looking into the word of God, then we really need to understand God's trying to make it clear. God's not trying to be confusing. You know, when it comes to understanding who God is and what he's trying to say, his scriptures are clear. We just need to understand that we need to open our eyes. We need to have God's vision for things. So the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And Tony Dungy, some of us are fantasy football enthusiasts and stuff like that. So some of you know the name. Tony Dungy is a coach. Didn't he come to Iron Sharpens Iron one year? Or wasn't he making the rounds with Iron Sharpens Iron one year as a speaker? I'm not sure. But I've known Tony Dungy has done men's conferences, has written books and stuff like that. Here's a quote by Tony Dungy. He says this: we often can't see what God is doing in our lives, but God sees the whole picture in his plan for us clearly. See, If I'm trying to figure out what my life is about, what my purpose is, what God's trying to say to me, what God wants me to do, then I need to go to the God who sees it all clearly. He sees the whole picture. And so when I had that wall and that storm was on the left and the clear skies are on the right, you know, from God's vantage point, everything is as clear as can be. God sees everything. He's everywhere. And so for me, it's like if I'm trying to understand things clearly, if I want to be able to say, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. That in my life, the obstacles and stuff like that are in the way, that I'm seeing those things as God sees them, and that maybe there's some sin in my life that's blinding me to what God's trying to teach me, then I need to take care of that. Maybe there's some scriptures that I'm not understanding, but then I haven't turned to the Lord and asked His Spirit to spell it out for me, to ask His Spirit to lead me in what that scripture is saying. Maybe I'm trying to figure out God, but I'm coming at it from a perspective of somebody's, you know, telling me stuff, you know, a little bit of counterfeit information that's coming my way. So the walk away is this. And this is the last point. The walk away is this. This is a little nugget for you to take away from today, to share it if you'd like on Facebook or other places. But the walk away is this. If we focus our eyes on God and our lives in the Word, then we'll see everything else more clearly. Like if we focus our eyes on God, if we look to God and we focus our lives on the Word of Jesus Christ and we focus on Him, then everything else becomes more clear. And it's funny because you don't have to use a lot of chemicals to do it. That it's one of those things that all we got to do is look to the Lord. That's all we got to do. And sometimes it's like when we, I don't know about you, but when I don't understand something, I don't tend to like to do it. You know, I don't like to just kind of jump in things that I'm not really familiar with. I like to kind of know things before I try to do it. You know what I'm saying? I like research it, look it up, try to figure it out and all before I just do it. And so I challenge you this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and have the worship team come up, that I challenge you on this, that if we're going to understand God, then we need to be willing to just look to the Lord. We need to be willing to let that veil be lifted. We need to be willing to let the Spirit spell it out for us. And that first step for interpreting Scripture, first step for understanding God, first step in any belief or decision we make for what our lives are to be, who God wants us to be, what He wants and expects out of us, what He's trying to say to us, the first step in understanding God is first that I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that I know that I'm saved. And I throw that term around, that I'm saved, and that's a Christian term that basically means that there's been a time in my life that I acknowledge that there is an almighty God, that there's something out there bigger than me, and that that God gave a way for me, little old me, my sins, my faults, my mistakes, my everything, to someday be with Him. And the Bible teaches that there's a place called heaven and there's a place called hell. And those that accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to be at home in heaven someday. And the Bible says there's going to be mansions and all kinds of stuff, walking streets of gold. The walls are made of gemstones, the whole nine. But what the Bible teaches is it's simple, that even a child can come to it. That you just have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that He was buried, and He rose again. And that in our lives, that's where it starts. That if we're going to understand who God is, we need to start from a place of faith.